the gospel and help us to see it in our own lives. Thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever questioned someone's love or affection towards you? Have you ever questioned the love of a parent or the love of a spouse? Maybe a girlfriend or a boyfriend for some of you. What does it take for you to feel loved by them? You may or may not have heard of the five love languages before. This is this theory that, you know, different people have different ways of feeling loved and accepted. Some people, they need constant words of affirmation, right, to feel loved and appreciated. Other people, you know, that you give them a card or a nice gift and they feel just so blessed, right? Other people feel loved through touch, like a hug, or spending quality time with that person. For other people, you know, if you serve them, you do something thoughtful for them, you know, that gets them, right? Everybody needs to and wants to feel loved. The book of Malachi was written about 100 years after the events of Ezra, Nehemiah, which we covered a couple months ago. After the return from exile and, you know, the rebuilding of the temple and then the city, things, you know, they were looking up, right? It looked like things were going to be great again. But unfortunately, things were just as bad as they ever were. You know, the people, they backslid. They turned back to their sinful ways and their disobedient ways. Right? Things were looking so good, and yet they were just right back where they started. Now, during that time, it became apparent, you know, the exile, it was meant to purify them, but it did not change their hardness of hearts. Corruption, it ran rampant in the priesthood. Injustice was still in the streets. You know, worship had fallen into routine and formalism. You know, nothing was truly changed. And then the people, they looked around. They looked around and they asked, does God still love us? I mean, look at us. Does God still love us? Can he still love us? Or has he forsaken us? You know, the people, they questioned God's love. And God, in his mercy, he reassures them in ways that they can understand. You know, he speaks their love language, okay? So take a look at verses 1 through 2. Oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you say, how have you loved us? Is not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord, yet I have loved Jacob. See, in verse 2, we clearly see that God is declaring his love for his people. I have loved you. I have loved you. It doesn't really get much clearer than that. Right? I have loved you. But then, in the very next breath, right, Malachi tells us, you know, the people, they're asking and they're questioning his love. You know? How have you loved us? How have you loved us? Right? You know, God hears this. He hears the people's questioning. He hears the people's doubts. How have you loved us, God? Right? Did God really say that he loves us? I mean, if he did say that he loved us, if God really does love us, then why are we still under foreign rule? If God really loved us, why is our temple not as grand as it used to be? If God really loves me, why do I still suffer? Does God really love me? That's a question we all ask. Does God really love me? If you've been to church, you know, any number of years, surely you've heard the slogans, you know, oh, God loves you, God loves you, God is love, God loves you. You've heard that a million times. You've heard it more times than you can remember. And after hearing it preached a million times, seeing it in your Bible a million times, we ought to know this by now, right? We ought to be sure of this. And yet, how many of us, when we fall on hard times, question God's love? How many of us, when we fall on hard times, truly feel loved? How many of us, when things don't go our way, we start to question and doubt God's goodness. I think we all do. I think we all do that. And it's healthy in some sort of way. If we never doubted God's love, then we might just take it for granted. Every once in a while, though, we need to be reassured of God's love. God, do you really love us? Prove it. How have you loved us? That's our cry. And God's answer is essentially, I chose you, didn't I? I chose you. Look at verse 2. Is not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord, yet I have loved Jacob. I chose you. I chose Jacob, not Esau. I chose you. Genesis 25 tells the story of Jacob and Esau. Genesis 25. So Abraham, we know Abraham, he gave birth to a son, Isaac. Right? And when Isaac was 40 years old, he married his beloved, Rebekah. Isaac, he prayed for a child, and behold, if you turn in your Bibles to Genesis 25, 21, I've got it here too. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, why is this happening to me? Right? There were no ultrasounds back then. What's going on in here? Right? Why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. So even within the womb, right, these two babies, they're fighting. It's these like two nations at war. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment, so they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. So even at the moment of their birth, you know, we see sibling rivalry happening here. The younger grasping the older's heel. He's like saying, no, me first, like, me first, right? Sibling rivalry, Jacob. So through a series of events, eventually we learn, okay, Jacob's mother, Rebekah, loved Jacob more than Esau. Right? And then, you know, through some things going on, she helps him to get the father's blessing, right? The birthright. And it is now through Jacob, right? Not Esau, Jacob, that God's purposes will be fulfilled. So somehow, God chooses Jacob to fulfill his promises. God chooses Jacob to love. Okay. Malachi verse 1:2 says, I have loved you, says the Lord, but you say, how have you loved us? Is not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord, yet I have loved Jacob. God loves Jacob. So these are two brothers, right? Both these are grandsons of Abraham. Esau was actually firstborn, right, by a couple seconds. Esau was actually the firstborn. Right? Shouldn't God favor the firstborn? Yet God chose Jacob. God loved Jacob, not Esau. Now, why was Jacob chosen? Was it because he was sneakier? Was it because he was stronger? No, those weren't the reasons. God chose Jacob out of pure grace. There was no real reason that we can understand. Jacob didn't trick God into loving him. Jacob didn't somehow earn brownie points with God and bring him into God's favor. God chose Jacob out of pure, unconditional grace. Later in Genesis, we see these two brothers. Right? They begin to hate each other. And each of them, you know, they grow larger. Their people grows larger. They grow into powerful nations, right? Just as the prophecy foretold. Jacob was renamed Israel later on and becomes the father of the Israelites. Oops, the Israelites. Esau, his other name was Edom. He grows strong and becomes the father of the Edomites. Right? We know through the history that God chose Israel to be his chosen people, his beloved possession. And then the Edomites, eventually, they become the enemies of Israel. They were excluded from the assembly. They were never allowed to go into the temple. They were forbidden to marry Israelites, and they were eventually defeated by King Saul. Now again, two brothers from the same household, twin brothers, yet God loved one and despised the other. Why? Why did God love one and despise the other? The only answer that we have is God's sovereign, unconditional grace. Some are loved and others are hated. Some are chosen, others are not. This is not by their doing. It's because of God's purposes. And we don't understand them. We don't understand why. So this leads me to my first point of reassurance. When you question God's love, remember you are chosen by grace. When you question God's love, remember you are chosen by grace. What this means is that God loves you despite yourself. God doesn't love you. God didn't choose you because you were the smartest or the holiest. God didn't choose you because you did the most good things in your community. God didn't choose you because you were born into a Christian home and you grew up in the church. If you've come to faith and accepted Christ, God chose you out of his loving grace, despite ourselves, right? Despite our filthy rags, despite our self-righteousness, God chose us. And when we really start to let that sink in, it's actually pretty scary. It can be pretty scary. What you're saying, there's nothing I can do to earn God's love? What am I supposed to do? Nothing? When we start to understand God's grace more fully, though, it's really freeing. We are loved not because of what we can do, but because of what Christ has done. We are chosen simply because it is God's good pleasure. We're no better than our unbelieving brothers and sisters. We're simply chosen by grace. When you question God's love, remember, you are chosen by grace. Is not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord? Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. I have laid waste his hill country and left his heritage to jackals of the desert. If Edom says, we are shattered, but we will rebuild the ruins, the Lord of hosts says, they may build, but I will tear down. And they will be called the wicked country and the people with whom the Lord is angry forever. I mentioned earlier that the kingdom of Edom was defeated by King Saul. At the time when Malachi is writing this, the land of Edom had already been ransacked by invaders. Their cities were destroyed. Their population, all their people, were actually displaced. They had to move somewhere else. And God says in verse 3, I did this. I did this. I have judged them. I have laid them waste. They may try to rebuild. You know, hey, Jerusalem got to rebuild, right? They may try to rebuild, but I will tear them down again. They are judged forever. They will be called the wicked country. But Israel will be known as the Holy Land. They will be called the receivers of God's wrath. But Israel will be called the Lord's beloved. Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Israel I have forgiven, but Edom I have destroyed. And true to God's word, Edom never did rebuild. God's anger stayed on them. This brings us to the uncomfortable truth that God judges some people. Whereas some are favored, like Jacob and the people of Israel, others incur God's wrath, like Edom. We can see that. God calls Israel to be a witness to that. As uncomfortable as it is, our God is a holy God who punishes sin and rebellion. As uncomfortable as it is, our God is a righteous God who judges the wicked and throws the unrepentant in hell. That's the biblical God. We can't escape that. That's a scary God. That's a God to fear. Now, how can any of this help reassure me and make me feel loved by God? How can this be reassuring at all? This is scary stuff. How can this be reassuring? My second point is, when you question God's love, remember that you did not receive the judgment that you deserved. When you question God's love, remember that you did not receive the judgment that you deserved. Israel deserved to have their cities destroyed like Edom. Israel deserved to be displaced from their homeland like Edom. They too had broken covenants. They too had rebelled. But in his grace, God brought them back and let them rebuild. God's punishment didn't remain on them, though they absolutely deserved it. Right? Likewise, we too deserve the wages of sin. Death, separation from God, literally hell. But instead, someone else took that punishment and judgment from us so that we wouldn't have to go through those things. And of course, I'm talking about Jesus, who took not just the physical pain of the cross, but the spiritual anguish of being separated from his Father. He took that upon himself so that we wouldn't have to. Okay, so my second point is, when you question God's love, remember that you did not receive the judgment that you deserved. If we look at the very last verse, verse 5, your own eyes shall see this, and you shall say, great is the Lord beyond the border of Israel. Malachi, he ends this section by telling Israel, okay, you will see all this happen, and you will know that God is great. Right? When you see the enemies of God, you know, they're trying to rebuild, and they're failing, you will know that God is truly in control, that they are under judgment. And then you will know that the Lord is all-powerful. Everything God does is for his glory. God's favor upon his chosen reveals God's love and mercy and grace. God's judgment upon the wicked reveals his righteousness and his justice. When you question God's love, this is number 3, when you question God's love, remember that he works all things for his glory. Whatever situation that is causing you to question his love for you, I don't know. There's about 100 reasons, different reasons in this room that you might be questioning God's love for you. Suffering, physical, emotional, spiritual suffering, hardships, maybe spiritual apathy. Maybe you just feel stuck and bored of the faith. Maybe you're burning out. Maybe you just feel disillusioned with some aspect of the faith. Remember, through it all, remember that he is still in control. As he guides you through the tough times, keep trusting him, seeking him, and he will give you a testimony, a story to tell of his greatness. You know, later on, you'll be able to look back and tell people, yes, God brought me through a really low period in my life. But this is why I had to go through it. And my faith in him is even stronger today. Look beyond the borders of your suffering and try to see God's glory. Try to see God's purpose and how he might be glorified in whatever it is you're going through. When you question God's love, remember that he works all things for his glory. There is a period in my life where I too questioned if God loved me, if God could love me. It's kind of my testimony. Some of you may have heard it before, some of you may not. It was during my last year in college. I had just spent the first 3 years of college falling away from the faith. You know, I stopped attending church regularly. I rarely opened my Bible. You know, I lived for myself. You know, I partied, I smoked, I drank, I spent all my time just pleasing myself, pleasing others. There was a lot of peer pressure going on. I was just trying to be cool, trying to be accepted. Something you probably didn't know about me, during college, I went and got my ear pierced. So my left ear really is pierced. You can come and see the hole. I wanted to rebel. I wanted to be cool, you know? Ultimately, I think I was just really lonely. I was just looking for love, you know? I became very prideful. I thought I had Christianity all figured out. You know, I had grown up in the church, and I knew all this stuff, you know? I had it all figured out. I didn't need to go to church, right? I became very rebellious to my parents, to God. I developed many shameful, sinful habits. And so I lived this way for 3 years, and I was in a really downward spiral. And it eventually caught up to me. It was at my lowest point, very rock bottom, when I cried out to God, you know. And I wasn't sure if he was even going to listen to me. Why would he? Why would he listen to me? Me, this rebellious child, this prodigal son. Why would the Father take me back? Didn't it say somewhere in the Bible that if you fell away after receiving grace, you would be lost forever? You know, this is something that I thought, you know, I'm doomed, right? Didn't it say that somewhere in the Bible? And so at my lowest point, I had nothing. I had nothing. I really despaired. You know, I was really broken. I really thought I was hopeless and helpless. I had nothing. I had nothing. And it was then that I think I finally started to understand the gospel. You know, I think I finally started to understand the gospel. That I am chosen not because I am a good person. I am chosen not because I am a good Christian, but simply because of God's good pleasure. I am chosen by grace. I am loved not because I am lovable or because I am lovely, but because God is love. I am chosen by grace, grace alone. You know, I started to understand that the punishment for all the sins that I've ever committed and I will ever commit, you know, all the harsh and the rebellious words that I had said to my parents, you know, Jesus, he took that punishment upon himself. Jesus received my judgment on the cross. And instead, I received forgiveness. And now looking back, I realize, you know, this was all for God's glory. This experience was part of God's plan for me. God wanted to show me the reality of sin and the depth of my depravity. God wanted to show me the unconditional nature of his grace. Right? That's the gospel. Right? That's the gospel, plain and simple. When I finally started to listen and understand the gospel, finally, someone was speaking my love language. Someone was speaking my love language. Someone was saying these words that I desperately needed to hear. And brothers and sisters, if any one of you out there is feeling unloved by God, if any one of you out there is questioning God's love for you, go back to the gospel. If any of you is questioning his goodness, go back to the gospel. You know, as cliche as it is, and you've already heard it a million times, what's one more time for me to say it? Maybe this will be the time that you really hear it differently. You are loved, right? Because God is love. You are chosen despite yourself. Right? You don't have to take the punishment. You don't have to bear that punishment upon yourself. Jesus already did that on the cross. And it will be for God's glory. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. thank you for the gospel. Thank you for Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Thank you for choosing us, not because we are lovely, not because we are lovable, but because you are love. Thank you for loving us. Lord, we truly do not deserve your love. Lord, if for any of those, for any of us, anybody here who questions your love or doesn't feel loved by you, I pray that they are encouraged by the gospel. I pray that they can see their situation through the lens of the gospel. I pray that you would build their faith and trust in you. God, I pray that we would be a church who filters everything that we say and we do through the gospel. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. You want to announce him?
So we actually have a special sharing this morning by a missionary, Mark. I believe he has been doing some mission work in Taiwan. If we can have you come up here and just share with us a little bit about what you've been doing there. And it's great to have you guys.
It's a real privilege to be here this morning. Thank you so much, Pastor Jim, for sharing. It's always a good reminder and an essential reminder to know how deeply God loves us, and he sure does. I'm just curious to know how many of you are connected to Taiwan in some way. Would you raise your hands? Oh, my lands. Man. So if we would invite you to Taiwan to come with us to do a mission trip, would you be interested?
Just say yes.
Just say yes. Well, we're going to share with you some really amazing things that God has been doing recently in Taiwan, and I hope it just inspires you to see what a great God we serve. And I'll have Laura share first a little bit, and then I'll share. And if you have any questions, you can ask too, but we're going to have to keep it down to about 5 or 10 minutes. But we do serve a great God.
That's really hard for missionaries to do, keep it down to 5 or 10 minutes. Yeah, I was so encouraged by the message this morning, especially what Malachi says in verse 2, where the Lord says, I have always loved you. And that's really our message in Taiwan, is we want people to see that God has always loved them. And we love because he first loved us. And so we go and we try to love on students. Mark works in a couple of different universities. We have students in and out of our home often. We have American students come and minister with us. Hint, hint. Wink, wink. And through them, the love of Christ is spread with the goal, like it says in verse 5, that with their own eyes they will see that the Lord is truly great beyond the borders of Israel. Even in Taiwan, he is great. And Taiwan has historically been a very dry place for the gospel, for very rocky soil. But in the last few years, we have seen the seeds that have been planted come and grow into fruition and bear much fruit. And we have seen God do some wonderful, wonderful things. And even back 20-some years ago when we first met in Taiwan, I went as a single missionary. Mark was already there as a single missionary. We knew Jackson back when he was in high school. Hi, Jackson! And we're so proud of Jackson, and you're so privileged to have such a wonderful young man in your congregation. And we knew Jackson and his brother and his mom at Morrison Academy, and Mr. Nelson as well. And we're just so thankful that to be together with them and with you this morning.
We'll show some pictures in just a second as soon as it boots up, and it'll just run through the pictures pretty quickly. But recently, just in June, we saw the Lord's really his outpouring of his spirit in so many people's lives. We brought a team from Ohio, and about 28 high school students, and we went to about 5,000 students across Taiwan. And as we were sharing, we're just trusting God to work. These are some of the things we're involved in, and you can read them as we're talking. What that says is better than what I say anyway. But as we shared, we just saw God's Spirit working, and we saw over 250 students respond to Jesus Christ. And it was so exciting to work in partnership with local churches and to see God's unity and His Spirit work together to see so many turn to Christ. And we were just inspired by that. And then we had a follow-up camp working with a church in Taichung. And I asked Joshua, one of the leaders, how did that camp go? There were 800 that signed up for the camp. And And he said, oh, another 150 came forward to receive Christ. And the year before that, we had done an outreach with another group. And over 100 came, and I asked how many stayed in church. And he said, well, there are 100 that came to know Christ last year that are leading the following camp this year. So it's just really exciting to see not only did they come forward, but they stayed in church. And so these are some pictures of some of the work that we do with college students. These are Zhongtai Keji Dashue, Zhongtai Health and Science University students that I teach. And we bring them to our house. And actually, the school encouraged us to talk about Thanksgiving and Christmas. So they paid for the meals, and we share the gospel. So isn't God glorious? I mean, that was way beyond what we could imagine. So Laura, you want to share a little bit?
So in our home, in the classroom, at Starbucks, at the market, it really is our privilege to carry the message of God's love to just the people we rub shoulders with every day. And one of the unique things was this past holiday season, you know, almost a year ago, was to have, like Mark said, to have so many students sponsored by the schools to come into our home for a cultural exchange. But really, we had such a wonderful time to share the love of God that He's placed in our hearts and in our family and in our home with these students who, as Pastor, you know, mentioned so often, you know, that question, are they really loved? You know, folks in Taiwan are so busy and so driven, both in school and at home, and everything that void in their heart to feel human love, to feel God's love, is so empty. And so, to just love on kids and show them the love of Christ in just real practical ways was a real privilege. So over the course between Thanksgiving and Christmas, we had about 150. Kids come through our home for that, and a lot in the English classes. We think, oh, you know, it's just teaching conversational English. It's nothing super academic, or you know, sometimes we think, oh, we don't. Yeah, through simple things, showing the love of Christ. They'll come often before class or after class, and talk with Mark or I, and. I grew up on a horse farm, so I really love horses, and I thought, oh, gee, when I go to Taiwan as a missionary, I would give that up. But, you know, God is so, He has such a great sense of humor all wrapped up in this amazing grace and love that He has. And we have this little tiny mini horse that we take, his name is Blaze, and we take him to universities and elementary schools, high schools, parks, 7-Eleven. He was the mascot for 7-Eleven's grand opening. But we got to share the gospel, and he shares his testimony of how he came from America to Taiwan. Of course, he doesn't have a passport, so he tried to do all kinds of good works to earn the approval of the government to get in. And then we bridge that to the gospel, that we try to earn our way to heaven or try to earn God's approval, but there's nothing we can do to earn that. And just like we were willing to pay the price for Blaze to come to Taiwan because we love him, and or I love him anyway, and want him to be with me, that God loves the people of Taiwan, and each and every person that's been made in God's image And just like Blaise couldn't earn his way to Taiwan, we can't earn our way. It's a free gift when we choose to follow and accept Christ. And this is at an elementary school, and you can just see the light bulbs go on, and it makes sense. And of course, he's a, you know, an attraction, and people of all ages really love to interact with him. And so we just praise the Lord for speaking through silly little things like Blaise, or conversational English classes, or, you know, times around our dinner table or in our living room. And so we are so privileged to be there and to share this message. And we also work with a group of pastors, and I'll let Mark share about that.
This is a group of 16 churches, 16 pastors. It's a Hakka Sanchong, a mountain alliance. And these are the pastors meeting together. And it's so neat to see the body of Christ work across denominations, because that's what God wants to do. And we work better together in unity and humility. And we have just seen so many amazing things when we work together with the body of Christ. We also believe in discipleship, and this is a policeman. It's nice to have a policeman on your side, too. If you get in trouble, he's got a gun. No. But this is another guy. He was suicidal, and I was praying that God would give me an opportunity to witness in a noodle restaurant, Nyoro Mian Tien. And before I said amen, he was right at my face, and he said, "Do you know God? I need God." And long story short, he came to know Christ. It blew me away. Got baptized, girlfriend got baptized, his daughter got baptized. So pray for Yao Fu Mai, that he'd grow in the Lord. These are Malaysian brothers. The Lord oftentimes opens doors that we do not plan. His ways are higher than ours. Amen. His ways are greater than ours. This is a Rukai tribe in Pingdong Baptist Church we're working with. This is Blue. His Chinese name is Lan Xiansheng, and he wants to be a pastor. We prayed for him for 15 years. He came to know Christ. Pray for Lan Xiansheng, Mr. Blue, because Lan means blue in Chinese. You know that, right? Lan, Lu, He, whatever. And this pastor is only 102 years old, so I had to get a picture with him. He prays for 4,000 people a week. So you want to get on his prayer list, because he knows how to pray. This is a Hakka outreach with the Alliance, 16 Church Alliance, and we work with them. And that's our youth group leading worship. And they came to America last year and shared the gospel in Ohio public schools. Is God amazing? They used Aborigine dancing, and they used English, a Chinese teaching. So they use Mandarin, high schoolers teaching Mandarin in the American public schools. So we need to think creatively, and we need to pray hard. God can do anything. We believe in strong families, so we're involved in marital counseling and premarital counseling. So there are many things that can be done, and God uses weak people. If there's one thing I'm learning, is that I'm extremely weak. I must be the weakest Christian out there. And every new day that I wake up, I have to say, "Lord, 我什么都不能做. I can't do anything." But 上帝是无所不能的真神. God is the God of the impossible. He can do all things. This is Kaiga Church. They're growing so much. They ask you to pray that they would get into a new building. These are some of the leaders. They're at about 500 now. They wanted to move into a new church that's four times as big. They're called Victory and Praise, or is it Praise and Victory?
Victory and Praise.
Victory and Praise. But thank you guys for giving us the opportunity to share. And really, God wants to work through all of us, whether we're in Seattle. Five more minutes, really? Wow, thank you. Wow, what a blessing. We could talk for 3 hours. You guys would be throwing stones at us by the time. But we're really thankful that Anna and Daniel are very much involved in our ministry. And just to say this, that sometimes we think our work is mundane. And we have felt that way many times, going and teaching an English class to junior high school students. I'm teaching a guitar club. I love the worship, by the way, this morning. But I taught a guitar club at a school called Wufeng Nonggong, which is an agricultural college, just basic guitar chords and teaching guitar effects, compression, stuff like that. And God opened the whole blooming school to the gospel. All 900 students got to hear the gospel, and 120 young men came to know Christ through a little guitar club. Because through that, we got a a team from America to share the gospel. And so I thought, why am I doing this? And yet God was saying, no, Mark, be faithful in the little things. Don't look down on the little things. See, those are the 120 that came to know Christ, right there. In front of all their peers, one man, young man, shot up forward. And I was like, whoa, it sounded like he was propelled, looked like he was propelled from a gun. And then all his other classmates came forward. They got the gospel and turned to Christ. So if you think being faithful to your friends is meaningless, think again. Be faithful. Live a life of love. Live a life of purity and truth. This is the Aborigine team in Ohio, by the way. And that girl was so cute, I had to get a picture with her. She's a little elementary school student.
And one thing we have always felt like Mark shared is that, you know, we're so thankful that God uses weak people and imperfect people, and that we're very, very convinced that there is no difference between those who choose ministry as their vocation and other people. Whether you work at Boeing or whether you're in school or you're a janitor, we're all called to be missionaries, to live out the love of Christ no matter where we are, to love God and love people. And if all God's children did that, we could get our job done and go home. You know, the world would be transformed. And so we're so privileged to partner with you in furthering his kingdom, whether it's here in Seattle or in Taiwan.
Or in Taiwan.
Yeah, hint, hint. Right. One of the great privileges we have is hosting short-term mission teams. We've had groups that are just a single family come and just want to pray over Taiwan, to pray with us, pray for people, and just pray. Everybody can pray. We've had groups come that have no special talent, but they can hand a Bible to someone. And we pass out simplified character Bibles to mainland Chinese tourists who come by the thousands to different tourist places in Taiwan. And over the course of the last several years, over 100,000 Bibles have been passed out. So you could come pass out Bibles. We even had a triathlete team come ride their bikes around Taiwan and pray for it.
That wouldn't be me.
We've had youth groups come and do work projects or do children's camps or anything. And so God can use however he's gifted you, even if you don't feel like you have any special wonderful talent or gift or anything, you still have the precious message of God's love, and he can use you greatly here or in Taiwan. And we really would welcome any and all of you to come at some point and join us in ministry there for a week, for a month. We've had folks come for 6 months. Please come, and if nothing else, pray for us. We certainly would appreciate. We do have some little cards with our ugly pictures on it to just help you remember to pray for us. If you'd like some, just let us know, and you can stick them on your fridge or in your Bible or whatever, just to, as a reminder to pray. And we will be in prayer for you as well. We really do appreciate being here in worship with you together today.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor.
Thanks, Mark and Laura. Actually, there's quite a few Taiwanese among us. I think, Pastor Jim, you're Taiwanese, and I'm Taiwanese, and by the way, I'm Hakka. So, Kejiazhen, yeah. We also, as you guys know, we're doing the special Christmas child shoebox. And we have a short presentation or short announcement on that this morning. Sonia?
Hi. Just wanted to give like a quick update on Operation Christmas Child. As you know, the youth group is doing this year where we're going to be packing boxes full of like supplies and shoe boxes and then sending them to kids across the world. And so there's a box in the back where you can put donations, because we want donations, if you can, of supplies, so that that will make us have less to buy for when we pack them. And there's a poster on that box with more detailed examples of how you can donate. And so when you donate stuff, keep in mind that we would like them to be new, and they should be for kids between the ages of 2 and 14. So that's a pretty big range still, but yeah. Another thing is, if you want to, you can write a note to one of the kids, and we can stick them in the boxes while we pack them, so it's like a more personalized touch. And so you can put your picture, you and your family, and maybe even your address down so they can write back to you. And then last thing is, on November 6th, we'll be having a food bazaar. So if you want to donate food, email Jackie or Ivana, and of course, come to it as well. And yeah, thanks.
So. Well, I'll be there to eat a lot of the food, so it's usually pretty good. So after service this morning, just remember there is Sunday school. The adult Sunday school is meeting behind the sanctuary, and the youth Sunday school over at the fellowship hall, and there's also coffee time over there, so we can all sort of get caught up. Just three key announcements for this morning. First of all, there is a December baptism. So if you are interested in getting baptized, we have a series of baptismal classes. If you are interested in doing that, please talk to either Pastor Jim or myself and let us know. We would like to get that going as soon as possible, because the class itself is 8 weeks. Second main announcement is that I think a lot of you guys know Hurricane Matthew went through Haiti, and now it's hitting parts of southeastern United States. It's caused up to about 800 deaths in Haiti, and we would like to take up a offering next week, specifically for the victims or people who have suffered from Hurricane Matthew. If you're interested in helping out with that, please make the check out next week to Good Samaritan Fund, Hurricane Matthew Fund. Okay, so next week write the check out to Good Samaritan Fund, Hurricane Matthew Relief. All right, and then just put that in the back of the offering box. And the last thing is actually that we have a free ping pong table. Our church was involved in a ping pong tournament quite a few years ago, and we bought a ping pong table. We had our brother Jack, which is Samuel's dad, very kindly stored it for us for a number of years, and he's going to sell that house. And the ping pong table is free if you want it. If you are interested in a free ping pong table, please let either myself or Samuel know. It's your dad, Samuel. So, all right. Pastor Jim.